Hello, adventurers. Welcome to episode 42, The Dark Side of Girl Scout Cookies. And I'm your host, Courtney Novak, and I'm convinced I'm recording this episode on not only a broken podcast mic, but a podcast mic that has possibly never worked. I got this last August when I decided to ease myself back into podcasting, and I realized today I've never seen anything like a signal light that I've plugged it in and the damn thing's working. And I just spent like 10 minutes going down a rabbit hole trying to figure out if this particular microphone should light up when it's been plugged correctly into my computer. Couldn't figure that out. Then I was just testing it and recording a bunch of sound bites where I had it plugged in and where I didn't. And the sound quality sounds fine, but also exactly the same whether the mic is in or not. So we're just wild westing it today. I have it plugged in, though I guess I hate it because it seems to have never worked. But then maybe I'm a little more, not embarrassed, I'm just like, fuck it. So I didn't notice that a podcast mic I bought wasn't doing anything. Or maybe it was working and today's the first time. I don't know. But instead of going down the next rabbit hole of choosing a new podcast mic, and the one I bought before is a popular brand, so I'm seeing things on Amazon. I'm like, oh, that looks good. I'm like, oh, it's the same damn thing. I don't want to, like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And that's a cliche, which I had to define this morning for Pippa. She's gotten into the movie Hercules thanks to my sister. And she's learning one of the songs, the love song that the female Meg sings. And she wanted to know what's the meaning of the word cliche. And I realized immediately cliche is one of those words I absolutely know what it means, and I absolutely have no idea how to explain that to a 10-year-old. So that re definitely required a Google check and examples. And then, of course, I'm like trying to explain it's an expression that's tired and overused, so it doesn't have meaning. And then I'm giving them examples of cliches, like, don't judge a book by its cover. And she's like, I like that saying. I'm like, yeah, I'm not saying you have to ditch all these sayings. So, cliches. So, and broken podcast mics. It's also raining here. It looks like the rain slowed down or maybe stopped. I need to do an umbrella tutorial with Julian because I realized today, as he's getting out of the car in the rain, boy does not know how to open his freaking umbrella. And, it rained a ton here last year. All these atmospheric rivers we're getting in California. So I just assumed he'd figured out how to use his umbrella, but what he kept doing was he kept hitting the damn button. And it's like, no, that like releases it, but then you need to use your hand and push it up. And I know when I was his age, I was really afraid of getting my fingers pinched. So maybe he has that fear and he's just, so he was just standing in the rain trying to figure this out. And I'm like, it would just be easier and faster if you grabbed your backpack and ran the 30 feet to where it's covered, rather than standing here with rain pouring down on you. So, we'll be doing a tutorial probably today or tomorrow because it's supposed to rain again next week a bunch. Okay. Oh, yeah, before I also wanted to mention that I was going to record this episode about 45 minutes ago, and then I quickly checked email and saw that summer camp registration had opened, and I'd had that on my calendar and to-do list, but of course I forgot, and it opened this morning. So I spent the past 45 minutes getting the kids registered for summer camp because I will procrastinate on many things, but not on summer camp because we have a summer camp that this is the last year that both of them can go. They both love it. It's reasonably priced. It's like $250 a week, so it's like gotta get on that shit right now. Julian would be fine home more, but Pippa, she's just a real high octane extrovert and she needs her camp and activities and so that we don't all have a mental health crisis. So the kids are signed up. Took 45 minutes, should have taken about 5, but it's the most user unfriendly website, including, even though I just signed up Pippa for basketball, it doesn't have, I didn't have my password memorized, and it's one of the most difficult websites for retrieving your password. And they're like, enter your full name as it appears on our account, enter your date of birth, and like something else. And I think the first time I did it, I put my middle name and they're like, doesn't match our records. So then I sign up a whole new account. Then I realize maybe it's not the middle name. Oh, and I sign up the whole new account. And oh my God, there's the most fabulous cat walking by my desk right now. So fat and black and white. I see cats a lot of the time. They walk, I have a porch where my desk is, and they like to walk by, but they are very sleek and fit feral cats. This is a fat cat. I think it's one of the rare house cats that goes outdoors. We've got some serious coyotes. So, cats going outside are at, owner's risk right there. So yeah, kids are signed up for summer camp. I just told myself, you know what? This is 45 minutes of annoying and having, you can't just like it's a program that's by the week and you can't just click all the damn weeks that you want and then sign them up. You have to sign up for each week, then you have to go back to the main page, and then you have to, and you can't sign up each kid. So it's like for each kid, I have to sign one kid up, go back, sign up the other kid, go back, and then do the next week. So 45 minutes of annoyance, but for a summer of fun. So, okay. A trade-off. I'm not too bitter. Speaking of bitter, let's talk about the dark side of Girl Scout cookies. It is Girl Scout cookie season here. And I should preface this with saying, not everything about Girl Scout cookies is evil. Pippa is selling Girl Scout cookies right now. And in fact, she loves it, and there's a lot of goods about the program. It really helps build confidence and assertiveness. She's a 10-year-old girl, and this is the age where confidence starts to decline in girls. Girls who were previously super confident can start to decline. So I love something that helps to bolster her confidence. There's other things like goal setting and decision making and people skills and money management and business ethics. This is like all the Girl Scout program lingo. And I fully admit there's a lot of great things about the Girl Scout cookies program, and it is fundraising. And boxes cost $6 a box here in Los Angeles, and the troop gets $1 back. And I've been the cookie, I called myself the cookie czar twice, but the past 2 years, this is my second year being a leader for their troop and their juniors. And I'm like setting boundaries, knowing my limits. I am not selling cookies. I'm not being in charge of the cookie program and being in charge of like the Girl Scout group. So last year we actually didn't sell cookies, which was a really nice break. It was such a nice reprieve from the mental load and stress. And then this year though, the very last, like the midnight, like right before like the second hand was like one click away from midnight, the mom of our most enthusiastic seller decided she would be the cookie chair. So we are into the program again. We have a small troop. I think we're at 8 girls, but only 7 regularly come to meetings, and one has a gymnastics conflict, so we sometimes see her. I don't think I saw her once last year, and then she came to a Halloween booth event we had on a Friday evening last fall. So, really small troop. Only I think 4 of the girls are going to be selling cookies, and it is fundraising. And we have, oh, back to my earlier point that I was trying to make, we have raised a lot of money for the troop this way, and it has, we have over 1,000 in the bank from selling cookies 2 years ago, and we can use it to fund some activities. So, it's not all bad. But I want to bring some awareness to potential issues in the program and for me or for anyone listening, because I think being aware of the issues helps you consciously and intentionally negotiate them. And the issues I've seen with Girl Scout cookies could apply to a lot of different settings, especially like when you have fundraising in a group or, well, let's just get into it. Okay, so in LA, one of the first issues I have with Girl Scout cookies is you have Girl Scouts of USA. And then you have councils, and we're a part of like the Los Angeles Council. And then within the council, there's service units, and we're within what's called Crown Poppy Service Unit, which includes Pasadena and a lot of surrounding cities that are smaller. So Los Angeles County sets the rules for fundraising for any Girl Scout in the county. And in order to engage in fundraising that you come up with, like a lemonade stand or making bracelets and selling them, you have to participate in the selling of cookies. And you also have to do what they call the fall product program, which I understand is like nuts, maybe some magazines. It's not like Girl Scout cookies. Everyone knows what a Girl Scout cookie is. But if you ask someone, what's the Girl Scout fall product? They're going to be like, there's something other than cookies. And it's not just that you sign up and participate in the fall product and like maybe you sell one or two bags of nuts. It's like everyone in the troop has to sell, you have to average 25 units sold. So for us, that's 8 girls registered. So that's 200 bags of nuts that we have to sell before we're allowed to engage in any other fundraising. And that's not how all councils do it. So, but that's how we do it. That's done in LA. And I just find that a little, it just rubs me the wrong way that the program might not work for a lot of people. Like, for example, the fall, it's a time of year that is busy as fuck. My kids are doing soccer. It's back to school. And you know, I can't speak for all schools, but our school front loads a lot of activities like the school carnival. It's in that first half of the year. Also, it's the holiday season. People are, you know, as a parent, you've got Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas. There's just a lot going on in the fall. And I personally am not adding selling bags of nuts to my to-do list. So they've restricted your ability to do fundraising in LA. So I that just doesn't sit with me the right way because the girls, even if it's not effective fundraising, like selling friendship bracelets, if your whole platform is about girl empowerment, and there's so many badges that are about entrepreneurship or creating your own product and product design, and it's like, if that is something that is one of your goals as a program, why are you limiting the girls' ability to actually engage in fundraising? It's just, you know, like a mom suggested to me, she knew an area where you could hike and gather lots of mistletoe, and then you could sell mistletoe from a booth in December. And I was like, that's a great idea. We're just not allowed to do it. And we could, you know, and then you debate, like, well, do I just flip the metaphorical bird to the Girl Scout Council and do it, and then if we get busted, say, "Oh, I didn't know," or you know, it's just such a pain in the ass. All right, and then, so it's one of the only way. It's you know, there's all these rules about what you can do and can't do for fundraising, and then LA has all these officers for their council. You know, Girl Scout USA has their own employees, but LA has a CEO who is paid $281,000 a year. We have a chief mission delivery officer, $244,000 a year. A chief financial and admin officer, $238,000 a year. And in LA, the cost of living is high. But this is a nonprofit organization that is about girl empowerment. And they are restricting the ways we can do fundraising for our troop. And because they want us to be selling cookies, they want these girls who are cute and they look really adorable when you put them in the uniform. And then they have to go in front of like a grocery store and have like some creepy guys walk by and they're like smiling at the girls, like, oh, you're so cute and engaging. And I mean, so that we can bankroll these salaries. And that just kind of grosses me out a little that we're using little girls as free labor to pay these to me are bloated salaries. Like when you think of like teachers do not even make half of that in Los Angeles County. And I think that if you're going to work at a nonprofit, there's an exception, you know. Yes, you should be living fine, but $281,000 to run a nonprofit that, and this isn't, so this is just to me, this is an issue. I don't love it. And so the girls are doing all this work, but really, who's doing most of the work? The parents, and it's mostly the moms. I know that there's dads. I know, like, a dad in our service unit organized the day that they call I forget what they call it now. It's like the delivery day, like it's the distribution. So like you first place your starting initial order And then you pick up your cases of cookies. And there's people who like rent U-Hauls, and these are troops that are going all out because they want to take like these big trips, like to Australia or just expensive camping trips. And yes, camping can get expensive. Like there's a jamboree in that one of our LA troops organizes that costs like 300 plus per person. So, and that includes adults. And then there's summer camps that girls want to go to. So, like, this stuff can get pricey. So, you have moms doing unpaid work to raise money to pay these salaries. Now, at least these employees are all women, thank God. Remember in the Ken movie? The bar, not the Ken movie. Oh my God, I called it the Ken movie because Ken's got the nomination and not Barbie. In the Barbie movie, it's that room of male CEOs talking about what girls want. So thank God it is at least three females who are the chief executive officers at Girl Scouts LA. But you've got women, moms who are busy and stressed and they are hustling. They have to manage their girls. Like they have a digital platform now and they have like sales that they do in person. And you're like becoming like I have a little part of my front room, which is usually for the kids' backpacks. And it's now become a little like an impromptu warehouse for Girl Scout cookies. And so you have moms hustling and not being paid and being expected to bend over backwards. And we have volunteers who are up at like 4 a.m. getting ready to distribute these cookies. And I'm like, I find it troubling that you have an organization that celebrates girl power, but is run by women who are working for free. And it's, to me, it's reinforcing a message about women's time just not actually being worth being paid for. And volunteering is wonderful. I've done so much volunteering through my life, starting in, I think in sixth grade, I volunteered at some summer camps. So I have a long history of doing volunteer work. It's good for the soul. But this goes beyond volunteer work that you enjoy and it becomes stressful and, a little bit crazy. So it's just, again, it's not necessarily a reason to completely cancel the program, but I think, there's the good side of the force and there's the dark side of the force. Like, there's all these wonderful things that get touted about the Girl Scout cookie program, but maybe there are some negatives. It whips people into a frenzy. I'm going to give you an example. In 2021, I was our troop's cookie chair, and there were cookie shortages like crazy, and people were losing their minds. And people could not get enough cookies to just like some troops didn't have any, and some troops had, and they were not sharing. They were running their booths, and people had orders that they'd gotten online for what they call girl delivery, so like your neighbors can request cookies, and people were going like didn't have like the Samoas or the do-si-dos to deliver to orders that had already been paid, and they didn't have ways to cancel and refund. But then people who had cookies that weren't like already bought but they had reserved for the booths, they weren't sharing their cookies. We ended up sharing. I told we had done a starting initial order that would provide the girls with the cookies to start their little quote unquote cookie business. And then also we would use as inventory for our first couple of boothing times. And when we found out that people we knew just didn't even have like their basic Thin Mints, I told the troop, like, I'm not comfortable perpetuating like a scarcity myth. I want to share. And so we share, and everyone agreed. They're like, yeah, we should share. So we shared our cookies, and that felt really good to do. But there was a Zoom meeting, and the Girl Scouts LA was debriefing all the cookie chairs, like, this is what's going on. And people were just losing their minds. They were like, you need to extend the cookie season. You need to lower the thresholds for prizes because our girls set goals. And 2021 was not a great year for most people. We'd been through the ringer of 2020, and we were still continuing. I mean, at that time, in LA, we were still doing distance learning. So we were still in the darkness, and maybe people had pinned a lot of hope and energy into this program, and it was like a bright light for them. I don't know. But they were upset, and they're posting in the message boards just horribly mean contents about like how could you let this happen? It's like they didn't let this happen. There's just like people knew there were all these shortages happening. You know, we started with the toilet paper, but remember when there was a time where you couldn't get flour at the store, and that was affecting the company. There's names for the bakeries that make the Girl Scout cookies, and the bakeries just didn't have the ingredients they needed, and they had to provide cookies for all the councils throughout the country. And you know, the Girl Scouts LA was like, we would like to extend the season, but they also need to get some cookies to Florida, to Texas. Like, there's Girl Scouts throughout the country. So people were just really upset and freaking out. And it was, to me, it's fake drama. And I have become really aware of fake drama, and I abhor it. And I try to live my life without fake drama. I'm like, basically, my new mantra is fuck fake drama. Girl Scout cookies? Fake drama. We are not talking about negotiations for peace in the Middle East. We're not talking about getting, you know, food to communities that have had a natural disaster. We're talking about girls selling boxes of Thin Mints so they can get some shitty ass like bracelet that will break. I know this from experience. It breaks really quickly. This year, there's always the stuffed animal prize, and the mascot is the axolotl, super cute, but the stuffed animal is also really creepy. And I can go online on Amazon and get Pippa an axolotl stuffy and surprise her with it and be like, you don't need to have sold like 300, 400, whatever the requirement is to get the axolotl. I can spend $10, $20 and save us a lot of sanity. And here's your own axolotl because I know you worked hard. And they set these really difficult mile, numbers for the girls to get. And here you've sold 150 boxes. Here's your sticker. Like, we're really losing our minds over a sticker. It's just like a badge. Like, here's your patch. Like, so I do not like the frenzy that people get whipped into, the scarcity, the competition. And I saw it happening in Pippa. We have neighbors like across the street from us, and I can see their house like right now out my window. They're like across the street and two doors down, and they're on the corner. So we're on the middle of this block that does not get a lot of traffic. It's a very quiet block. But they're on the corner of our block and a block that is busier. So they set up a cookie booth, which you're allowed to do on your own property, that like they call it a lemonade stand. And they set up a lemonade stand. And but not only do they set up this lemonade stand, and they are out there a lot hustling for cookie sales, there are six girls in this family. Okay, six, ages 2 through 12, like every 2 years. Four of them, last I heard, four of them are in the Girl Scouts. The two older ones are Juliets, which is like you're doing your solo program, and the two younger ones are in troops, and the mom's a troop leader. So you got six girls being homeschooled. They're having a little bit of a, I tell Pippa, their experience with Girl Scouts might be a little different from ours. The first day that you're allowed to go out and take cookie orders about a week before you get the cookies, and that first day, they are out and they are like canvassing the neighborhood, you know, like people trying to get people to sign up to vote or get them out, and they are intense. And I'm like, Pippa, you're very, I am blanking, well-rounded. There's the word. You're a well-rounded girl. She does art. She's obsessed with art, and she plays piano, and she loves sports. And basketball season just started. Like, you don't want to put your whole life on hold for like 6 to 8 weeks, do you? Just to sell Girl Scout cookies? And she's like, no, I don't. I'm like, we will get the experience. So I told her, why don't we wait 2 or 3 weeks? And people who have bought cookies, when they want more cookies, will just walk around the neighborhood and see if anyone wants it. And I told her, when your brother starts baseball, I will let you bring cookies to the park, and you're allowed to do what's called a walkabout. And look, I'll walk you around the park, and we'll see if you can get some sales. And that'll be a fun activity. But I'm like, just calm down. But she sees these other girls, and they're out, and they're in their uniforms, and they have the lemonade stand. I'm like, it's okay. they can do their thing and we can do our thing and it's okay. So that like and so that's good. I'm teaching her some life lessons there. And we were talking about the I forget the fancy name for it, like the 80-20 principle about how most of you get you do the there's a certain 20% of the work gets 80% of the reward and then 80% of the work gets only 20% of the reward. And I'm like explaining to her, like, look, you're mostly going to sell cookies, like by going to doing boothing and by from asking from friends and family. So, yeah, good things. The being whipped into a frenzy and getting competitive and worried that you're not going to sell as much as you want, negatives, but there are some positive lessons that come from it. But then I found. I was Googling, and I'm going to put the link in the show notes about how Girl Scout cookies exposes girls to diet culture. I'm going to read a quote from this article. During the course of the selling season, and even just in a single shift, girls are likely to hear negative comments about weight, body image, and disordered eating from both customers and passerby. While many comments are passed off as humor, a seemingly benign joke about needing to exercise more to earn a Thin Mint isn't as innocent as it might seem. I had never thought about this, but holy shit, yes. It's incremental. All these little tiny exposures to diet culture and negative body image, but Girl Scouts definitely puts girls, and I'm sure I know I've heard comments like, as a Girl Scout myself. Years ago, oh my God, how many years ago was I? Over 30 years ago, selling cookies, going door to door, and people being like, oh no, sorry, I'm on a diet. And that just, it perpetuates the idea of needing to be on a diet, needing to be thin, messing with body image, especially if like a thin woman says, oh, I can't, I'm on a diet. And I don't think everyone should have to buy Girl Scout cookies, obviously not. Most people aren't going to buy them when you're at a booth. But, you know, a simple no not today doesn't expose girls to the shame of diet culture. So, I didn't have that on my radar. And to me, it's something that I'm now going to be aware of. And I'm good to wait when I hear someone making a comment like that to Pippa, I'm going to address it and talk about, like, well, that's one someone's idea, but I don't think that's, you know, necessarily a healthy approach. And it will give us an opportunity to talk about how. You know, no food is inherently bad or good, and how, you know, there's our bodies need food for nutrition. But we also, as a species, we find comfort in food and joy and pleasure. So it's seeking a balance of, you know, healthy vegetables and meals, but then allowing yourself some treats. So, but that is a potential dark side that I had never even thought about. All right, I think that is enough about Girl Scout cookies from me today. I probably will have a tag along later. That's my favorite cookie. What's your favorite cookie? Pippa's, I think, is Adventurefuls, which is one of the newer cookies. It's like a brownie with a little caramel in. And I'm gonna stop co talking about cookies now because I need to get ready to go to hot yoga and get out into the rain. I hope wherever you are cozy and enjoying February 1st or whatever day it happens to be when you hear this.